Welcome to the Revenue Marketing Report powered by CaliberMind. This is your podcast for B2B marketers who are looking to level up. I'm your host, Kamala Thompson, and today I'm joined by Deb Reps.
Well, Deb, welcome back to day two, and we're going to talk about how to be heard as the only woman executive on the team. It's close to my heart. I'm sure you've been there. What first thoughts pop into your mind?
The first, a couple of things that I'm thinking about on topic is just navigating being heard around the table, navigating, the mentality of men, suggesting that the woman is one side of the coin is, being too direct and bitchy. The second side of the coin, too forceful. The second side of the coin is too emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are things that come to my mind in, in just kind of working with a team of men.
Yeah. And I'm thinking back to all the coaching I received early in my career, squashing the emotion, focus on the data. Don't get too passionate about things. Just focus on the facts. And yes, that's good advice. But when you're being steamrolled, I think a little bit of a firmer tone, not yelling, of course, but, standing up for yourself and saying, no, I actually meant this thing that I said is appropriate, but it's not always looked at that way. Have you observed anything similar? Do you think things are getting better out there?
I do think things are getting better, actually. Mm-hmm. I really do. I think that, I think all the Me Too, I think, with Trump being in office, I think with all the diversity conversations that are happening in the boardroom, I do think that it's getting better. I think that that people are, more self-aware than they were, let's call it, 3-5 years ago. I do think that the behavior is getting better, but I still think in many circles, it's not. I think, sexist comments are still definitely happening at the boardroom and the executive leadership team table. I think there's still the old boys network of let's go golfing. Oh, sorry, you don't. Bye. I think that there's, there are still people talking over women, the only woman in the room, and also, interrupting them a lot. And it's hard to tell whether that is the feeling of they're insignificant or whether that's just the rudeness of people talking over each other. It's something I see a lot of people doing, not listening.
Yeah. I mean, I've been guilty of butting in myself. And I think I have a theory that a lot of us mirror the behaviors of successful people. And the people who are able to be heard, not that it's an excuse, but I think that could be perpetuating that one, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely could be. And I think there are plenty of women who are right brain and left brain. I think that there are plenty of women who are very operationally oriented and data focused. And I certainly think as a leader today, you need to be able to harness insights from data and to provide those to the team. So I don't think that it's wrong, but I also don't think that it's, it would be inauthentic to not be passionate about what you're saying or come in strong when you really believe something. And, some men try to dismiss women doing that, just dismiss it as they're being really emotional or, it's like calling somebody a name indirectly, right? It's just trying to tamp them down, you know?
Yeah. Yep. And I've been in companies where I could not get in the word edgewise, and I'm a talker, but what I do is I'd raise my hand and just sit there awkwardly. I'd make it awkward. And then people would start to realize and create space. Are there other ways we can help people create space for one another?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I think there are a lot of challenges being the only woman at the table, but I think that let's talk about some of the strategies, right, that we, that women can put into place. I think one of them is around creating those relationships with their leadership team and their executive team, those one-to-one relationships that instill trust. Because when you do that, you create allies who sit at the table, and you create a relationship where you can say, you know, I really don't appreciate when you do X or do Y, when you talk over me, when you do a this or that, right? Ingratiating yourself as an insider, especially when you're coming on to the executive team, building those relationships and building trust across the table is an exceptionally important strategy to being an only woman sitting at the table.
Yeah. And I've been lucky enough to establish enough of a bond where, not in that meeting, of course, but away from that meeting, I can say, you know, when you said this thing, I know you didn't mean it this way, but here's how I heard it. Can you see where that would happen?
Or even ask them, how did you mean it? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help me to understand. Yeah. Help me to understand. You said this and it felt really strange to me. How did you mean it? You know, where were you going with that? I think not even assuming necessarily that they have bad intent or good intent, but just understanding their intent.
Yeah, I like that framing a lot better. Note taken.
I mean, you know, these are the things, right? And how we learn from each other. It's like, I mean, there are so many of those kinds of moments that that come up in, you know, in relationships. And when, you know, and I mean, another one that I can think of that really strikes me is when you're on a, for example, an executive retreat, and everyone brings their partners, and you're the only woman. And the women, the wives who are not on the team might be going and doing a thing, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of caught between the, which way do I go here?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's another one of those funny moments that I've been in.
Oh my gosh. So I knew we had a long way to go when I went to a very large summit for a marketing vendor I won't name. And went over to the vendor booths, and there's this big section called the Women's Confidence Center. And it was where you can get your hair done, your makeup, your nails, and maybe a couple pictures taken. A lot of people don't see the problem with that.
Yeah, I do that on my personal time. But
right. Right. Those aren't bad things. Those aren't bad things at all. But to make such a focal point at a conference for technology, it just didn't hit the notes I think they were going for.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. I, Maria Shriver sponsored a conference for several years. It was like the Women's Conference down in Southern California. And I was really excited about it. This is way before Women in Revenue. And I was really excited about it. I went down to that conference really expecting something very different that I got. I think that the year that I went, she interviewed Michelle Obama. And I was really excited about seeing that and seeing that content. And When I got down there, I expected a completely different kind of conference. So Michelle Obama was there, Gloria Steinem was there, who is my hero, my personal hero. There were just some really, you know, Oprah Winfrey, I think some predominant names. And I really expected something that was kind of just a little meatier content around women supporting women and, you know, just a little bit more business focused and feminist focused. And what I got was a showroom floor of some really weird stuff, like measuring bone density, you know, a booth on that, makeup, hair, beauty products, like health products. And I just kind of went down there and I really had a miss on that kind of conference I expected. And it looked like the content was really different than when I got down there and saw what the content was. And it was really disappointing to me, to see that. And I think, and that was, I'm just going to say that was probably like, I don't know, 12 to 15 years ago. And when I just think about the time of from that, even just having a women's conference was like, ooh, this is cool, right? To where we are today. I mean, there is a good amount of movement, you know, from there to here, where yeah. we are today.
Yeah.
I do see that with Sheryl Sandberg's Lean In initiative, and which really addresses some of the topics that we're talking about, the bossiness and, you know, being called a bitch, et cetera, those kinds of things. So we're coming along.
Yeah. Yeah. My heart hurts for your experience, though, because I've been there. And like I said, none of these things are bad things. I think so many of us notice, though, that everything from obituaries to profiles to all these other things really focus on motherhood and appearance. And it's hard because ultimately, I think people want to be recognized for what they've accomplished in the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if you're both a mom and a career person, you know, mm-hmm. I'm both. Yes. I did something that most women were not doing, when I was rising up, you know, in the mid-90s, I got married, and I decided that I married for love and not for income. And I married a high school teacher. And, you know, I was going to be the one that was going to provide the big income into the family. But I struggled a little bit with, I also really, really wanted to be a mom. I really, really wanted kids. And so I had to figure out a way to have my cake and eat it too. And so I stayed in selling, which is, you know, kind of naturally a great fit for me. And I was one of the first women that I probably the first woman that I had ever met that worked out of my home full time. So from basically that last 2 months of, you know, being pregnant, all the way through raising my children. And even today, of course, I work virtually out of my home. And I remember walking away from job opportunities because the person that was hiring me wouldn't allow it. And I also remember one of my favorite CEOs, Chris Golick, who was a founder of Demand Base, said to me, like, you know, if you would be willing to come in once a week, we can make that work. And I said, I'll make you a lot of money that way. You know, we kind of figured out a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. And I did just that. And it was a great 8-year relationship and run. And I did that throughout my whole career. So I had the opportunity to raise my kids And also have a very full, exciting career where I traveled and I had a partner and have a partner who was really willing to be a real partner to me. And I back to him where we could create something that would be kind of a win-win all the way around. I didn't want to miss my kids, you know, growing up in childhood and to be their mom and be engaged. But I also was really driven in my career. So, you know, and back then women were not doing that. They were going into the office or they were choosing not to work, you know? So I had the constitute to be kind of like, I'm going to stick to it, but it was a tough thing back then. I smile all the time as COVID changed all of this for women.
Yes. Yeah. I like how the change has stayed and that people aren't apologizing for things that they shouldn't have been apologizing for in the first place. Their dog's barking in the background or something.
Exactly. Do you know that we just last year, every year, Women in Revenue does an annual survey, and we talk. We're actually going to be releasing it in the spring, and so look for it on social. And one of the interesting outcomes from that survey is the number one thing. There are actually a couple of things. The number one and number two things that were the outcomes is flexible work. You know, so being able to work from home and flexible hours for women was, you know, top of the list. And then also having insight, you know, obviously equal pay, but having insight to and transparency around pay. Those are, you know, two of the things that were so important last year when we surveyed the, you know, just the women in revenue community.
Yeah. That resonates on a lot of levels. Well, yeah. Deb, thank you. Can't wait to talk about our next topic, which is how to take small steps to support other folks who maybe are in a diverse group. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to the Revenue Marketing Report. Please tell two friends, subscribe, download, whatever you can helps. And for those of you looking for more great content like this, check out calibermind.com.